Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 2. Looking forward to what God's going to do today in our church and in our hearts. I was reading through the book of Joshua here recently, and something stood out to me that had never stood out before, and I began to work on a message the Lord laid upon my heart. Was going to do it in Sunday school this morning, but kind of bumped it up to preaching the morning service because that's what I thought he wanted me to do. If the Lord continues on planning, we're going to start a new study in a book of the Bible during the Sunday morning service, and that's going to be in the book of Gospel of Mark, and I'm planning on starting that next week and looking forward to going through the Gospel of Mark. Well, if you don't always go through books of the Bible on Sunday mornings, but we go through at least one or two books of the Bible at a time and are in the four different times that I speak, whether it be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, going through the book of Philippians on Wednesday nights, really enjoying that, and I encourage you to be here for that. But here in Joshua, the thing that kind of stood out to me, of course, the story of Joshua talks about making good on a missed opportunity. And so what do you mean? Well, if you remember the story, and I know many of you are regular people that are here or familiar with the Bible, so I'm going to pretend like you know some of the Bible history, which I know most of you don't. If you need somebody to help fill in the cracks, I'd be glad to do it later on. Israel became a nation, and as it became a nation, was in bondage under Egypt for many, many years. They cried out, and God sent a deliverer, Moses. And Moses, with Aaron's help and God's power, they delivered Israel out. Most of us would know about it from the 10 plagues. And then from the 10 plagues, Pharaoh said, get out of here, and they go to the Red Sea, and they're stopped there. The Egyptians feel bad about letting them go. They want to go recapture them or kill them, and they follow them, and at the Red Sea, they're stuck. They got the Egyptians on one side, and they got the Red Sea on the other side, and they begin to cry out, and they begin to moan, and they begin everything else, and God tells them to stand still and see that he's God, and they open up, and God actually parts the Red Sea to where over a million people can walk on dry ground. Just an amazing, amazing story. And then he goes in there and he introduces himself in a sense on Mount Sinai, gives them the Ten Commandments. They see great victories out in the wilderness, and God brings this group all the way to the land they had been promised many years ago through Abraham, which was the father of Israel, or at least the beginning of the nation that was there. And then you have that it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey, which means it's a very productive land, it's a very good land. And for hundreds of years, they had been talking about this land that they had been promised. And God brings them all the way to the Jordan River. They send out 12 spies. They're going to go take a look around and see what's happening and all the things that are happening. And they're going to go scout out the land. They're going to come back and give a report. Well, as the story goes, the 12 come back. 10 of them have an evil report, the Bible says. And most of you know the story a little bit. There's giants there. There's great walled cities. There's no way we can win. There's no way we can go. And they began, and we're going to look at that passage in a little while, they began to murmur and complain. They began talking about stoning Aaron and Moses and following a new captain to head back over. Well, they get punished of the Lord. 40 years they wander around the wilderness. 40 years they waste their lives. And anyone that was over the age of 20, except those few that was willing to stand with the Lord and willing by faith to enter into the promised land, the rest of them perish in the wilderness. Can you imagine that? 40 years of your life wasted. 40 years of opportunity that it wasn't like they were going to be stuck in the wilderness. They did not have to be in the wilderness. For 40 years, they wandered in a place that they did not have to be. They could have been over in the promised land if they would have had faith, if they would have had the right focus, and if they were not fearful of the wrong things. They could have been over in the promised land. You know what that would have meant? They could have spent 40 years there at God's blessings. And I remember a preacher one time, I remember it was hard for me to kind of bring it together, but I remember a preacher one time giving this example that there's 40 years of blessings on one side or 40 years of wilderness wandering. And if we would be honest with ourselves in many of our Christian lives today, most of us say, I really haven't had the blessings that God wants on my life. don't get me wrong. We live in America. We, like you said earlier, in an auditorium that I think is too hot, and some people's got jackets on. I mean, they have air conditioning. We have, you're never going to make anybody happy when it comes to heating and air. But we live in a blessed place. When it, and you think about it, for 40 years, they wasted their lives. How about our Christian lives? I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, I got saved at the age of 9, so it's been 40 years. And I look back at those 40 years, I've had the Word of God, had the opportunity to pray, and had the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. And I know I've done some things for the Lord, but there's no way I have actually reached the potential God wants me. There was many, 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 many missed opportunities. And some of those years, I'm like the nation of Israel. I'm wandering around the wilderness. I'm not doing what the Lord's called me to do. I'm not the place where God wanted me to be at. But instead, I'm just making it day by day, just going through and just going through and going through, never really truly spending time with God, never truly having a future because of my because I'm not interested in the blessings of God. And I think many people, after they get saved, they get excited about the Lord, but if they don't get in their Bibles and they don't read and they don't pray, they spend many years in their Christian lives just wandering around, and they're not serving Him, they're not doing anything for Him. It's like they're just there. And that's what the nation of Israel, for 40 years it was a death march. They knew that anybody that was over 20 was going to die. And I'm not saying that you're going to die. We're all going to die someday, obviously, but spiritually, it's like people just wander around in their Christian lives. They don't seek the Word of God. They don't seek the work of God. They don't ask God to bless them. They don't have an interest in the things of God. They miss out on the blessings that God had in store for them. And when I came to Joshua chapter number 2, as I was reading through here, I came to Joshua chapter number 2, there again, 40 years later. Joshua now is the leader. 45 years later probably is a better time frame that they're there and they're getting ready to go into the promised land once again. Their parents and their grandparents, they miss this opportunity. They do something again. They cross over Jordan. They send out 2 spies, not 12 this time, and they're only looking at Jericho this time, the first city. Now, this city is known for huge walls. It's one of the things that made the other 10 spies scared 40 to 45 years earlier. And they go and they go into the house of a harlot. And most of it, like I said, if you know the story, it's great stories. We went and spent a year in the book of Joshua before, so we could make the story develop a little bit farther, trying to get to a certain point. And these 2 spies are there, and they're talking to this harlot, Rahab. And look at the response that happens here. Look here, Joshua chapter number 2. It said, we'll go ahead and start in verse number 4. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. So they were looking for these 2 men. They found out there were spies there from Israel, and they wanted to capture and kill them. Verse number 5, and it came to pass about that time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I would not pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. So she's telling, Rahab the harlot, is telling the people that are looking for the 2, hey, look, they already escaped, they already left, go follow after them. But look what she does. And she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Says verse 7, and the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they were pursued after them were gone out, and they shut the gate. Verse 8, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. Look at what she says. This is what interests me. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God of God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to look at those verses and look at this thought, missed opportunities. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I think if many of us who have been a Christian for a while look back upon their lives, most of us, if not all of us, would say, I wish I had done more. I could have done more. Did not take advantage of the opportunities that was in front of me. And Lord, I did not read your word like I should. I did not pray like I should. I was not a witness like I should. Maybe have some regrets and some relationships that wish we would have done things differently. But Lord, we're thankful to know that you have prepared a way and prepared a blessing for us. Lord, that you want to use us and that you want to see God working amongst us and that we would be faithful, Lord, with the opportunities we have. And that we would not squander them, we would not waste them, that we would not spend, as the nation of Israel did for 40 years out in the wilderness, wasting the opportunity of the blessing that God had for them. Lord, help us. Help us to see the truths that are found here. Speak to our hearts. Lord, help today to be encouragement and help to each that are here. And if there's one person here that does not know you as Christ as Savior, and Lord, there may be one or maybe many, I'm sure there's some, Lord, that they would not miss this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but there's been different opportunities I've missed in my life. Sometimes you look at something, and I don't do as much trading as I used to right now. I'm not doing any trading on the stock market, but sometimes when I place an investment, and I buy something, and then I sell it for a little bit of a profit, and then it turns around and it skyrockets to where it could have made a lot more money. You look at it and say, boy, that was a missed opportunity. Some people look at it that way. I look at it the way I'm thankful that I made a little bit and that I didn't lose anything. But we can look at things and look back and say, boy, I wish I would have done better with the opportunities God has given me. Here in the story, I find it interesting that Rahab, and let's look at verse number 9 again. I know the Lord have given you the land and that your terror has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. So they're all scared. It says it right there. He said, Pastor, what's the big deal? So this is written 45 years later. They're still fearful today about something that happened over 40 years beforehand. Because why does it say they're fearful? Look, it says in verse number 10, we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of the Egypt, what you did unto the two kings. So it's saying that 45 years earlier, if not even a little bit longer, they heard what God did for them many, many years ago. 40 years later, Rahab is saying, we're still scared today. What's the big deal? How scared would they have been 40 years earlier? I mean, if they're afraid today of what God did 45 years earlier, imagine that what God had prepared in their heart that first couple years after they had came out of Egypt. You think about it. She's saying at this point in time, he says, I know the Lord have given you the land and that your terror has fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, for you've heard what the God had done. And they're there. Look what it says in verse number 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. So what I'm saying is, 40 years earlier, God had prepared a land that was going to be ready to be taken. They were afraid 40 years ago. Now, Rahab here is a harlot. Rahab ends up having children. So either Rahab was someone who was super young or was not even alive, is what I believe, was not even alive when Egypt happened. And when the drying up of the Red Sea, it would have been passed down from their families. Look at what God did for Israel. And so what I'm saying is that 40 years earlier, when Moses was there and there's 12 spies were there and those over a million people are there, God says, I want you to go in. I want you to possess the land. I have a land that is flowing with milk and honey, which means a great amount of blessings that is there for you. All you have to go in and do is possess the land. And they gave him promise after promise after promise about the wars, about the victories that they were going to have. They sent out those 12 spies. The 10 came back. They didn't talk to anybody, but they saw the big giant walls. They saw the big giants that were there, and they came back and said, we can't do this. God said that they could. Caleb and Joshua said that they could. And it shows us here that Rahab, over 40 years later, is saying, we're afraid of you guys. I don't know about you. For me, I would have lost some of that fear over those 40 years. I would have been a lot more fearful 40 years. It would have been, to me, it would seem like it would have been easier 40 years ago. And I'm not even saying, hey, look, who's more afraid, who's more scared. That doesn't really matter. I'm saying that God 40 years earlier had provided a blessing, and God had already established a pattern that Israel was going to have victory in their life, and Israel was going to have victory in Jericho, and Israel was going to march through the entire promised land, that wherever they put their foot, God had given them promises that you can have this land. There is promises and opportunities that Israel had sitting there waiting for them. But instead, they spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. 40 years. 40 years later, they're still scared. I wonder what it would have been like that day when they heard that they had dried up the river and that they were on the other side of Jordan. I wonder what would have happened if they had gone to the place. In my mind, if they had gone to the place, they probably would have said, hey, please don't conquer us. We'll be your slaves. That's what the Gibeonites did 45 years later. Now, that wasn't what God wanted. So I want you, when I was reading through that, and I've read through Joshua a number of times over the years, God spoke to my heart and said, I had all this blessing prepared for them. It shows you that over 40 years later, they're still fearful of what I can do. I'm sure Joshua would be thinking, I wish we would have done it 40 years earlier. He watched family members die. He watched friends die. He spent and watched his whole tribe waste 40 years of their lives, just wandering around. And what's the reason? And so there's three things that I'd like to look at and just consider today. Three different reasons why they missed the opportunity. And I think these are things we can all apply to our life. But to help to tell the story a little bit, let's go back to Numbers chapter 13 and look at when the 12 spies came home. The 12 spies came back. Numbers chapter 13. So, Pastor, how can I apply this to my life? Okay, God wanted them to go to the land of Israel, the land that flows with milk and honey. What does that have to do with me? God's got blessings for you. In my mind, some people say Canaan land is like heaven, and I get that, but it's not really biblical that way. Canaan land is a land that had to be possessed, had to been conquered. There was war in Canaan land. Praise the Lord. In heaven, there's not going to be any war. In heaven, there's only going to be us worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Canaan land is the victorious Christian life. So if you look at it over here, the reason why they chose not to go over the Jordan River and fight Jericho, who was scared half to death of them, was because of the fact they didn't want to live a victorious Christian life. God provided everything for them. And I'm here to tell you today that God's given us even more than what he gave them. God has given us a completed word of God. I can imagine what Joshua would have thought as, man, God's word written down all throughout the ages. And he's given us an avenue for prayer. He's given us an avenue with the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God did not reside in all of those back in the Old Testament. He came upon people, and then when it was necessary, that happened at the beginning of the church age. And that's something that today we have, unlike any other person did. Now, I understand we don't always see the miracles today like Joshua had seen and all the promises that was given to Israel. I understand that the church is not Israel, but I tell you that they could have had spiritual victory in their lives, and they could have had the blessing of God upon their life if they would have just followed the Lord's commands. And I truly believe in our own heart, in our own life, many of us that say that we're believers wander around and wonder what this Christian life is really intended to be because we're not having spiritual victories and we're not seeing God work and we're not seeing God bless. Instead of standing in Canaan land and receiving the blessings of God, and I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel. I think it's ridiculous that people say that you're always supposed to be healthy and you're always supposed to be wealthy, and that's not biblical. You go look at the 12 disciples, the apostles. They gave their lives for Christ. They were many times very poor at different times, and we see missionaries today and people. That's just not true. Every single one of those preachers that preached that have died, and I guess they did something wrong to die. I don't know. We're all going to die someday. But I'm saying the spiritual blessings that are upon people's lives, you see like what the Apostle Paul did, you see what Peter did, we see that God's using them for a reason and for a purpose. So what's the difference between being over here on this side of Jordan over there? Three things. The three things I think here that the least Lord spoke to my heart about is, the first thing is a lack of faith. A lack of faith. The Bible says in Matthew 13:58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He's talking about the Nazareth, and Jesus had gone back and they didn't believe in him. Jesus walks into a town. Jesus can heal the sick. Jesus can feed the 5,000. Jesus can do all these things physically. And the Bible says that he was not able to do as much. Not, he's physically obviously able to because he's God. But he was not going to do many mighty works because of their unbelief. The reason why there is a struggle that is here for the nation of Israel is they don't believe what God said. God had given them a promise. All you got to do is go possess it. All you got, I'm going to fight the battles for you. It takes work. It takes effort. In our Christian lives, it's supposed to be like that. We have faith. We put feet to our faith. We do work showing that we believe and trust in the Lord. But think about all the missed opportunities. And I began thinking a little bit about different missed opportunities in the Bible. Different people who had missed opportunities in the Bible. And I thought about it. What about Adam and Eve? I mean, think about the opportunity Adam and Eve had. You think about it. They lived in the perfect environment. They walked with God daily, and they missed the opportunity to spend the rest of their life there. I thought about Judas. Can you imagine walking with Jesus for 3 years and still ending up in a horrible place called hell? What a missed opportunity. You think about it. They were there, and there was an opportunity. He could have. I think about people not getting on the ark, people that died in the flood. There was the boat there. I think it was 120 years it took them to make. And I think it said that Noah's a preacher of righteousness. So I bet you Noah's saying, hey, get on the boat. Get on the boat. He preached righteousness. He preached that the boat. Well, you know what? Every single one of those people who died in the flood, what happened to them? They missed out on an opportunity. And then I began thinking about other people like Solomon, who was one of the most privileged people to ever live, missed out on an opportunity of taking Israel, even though he took it to his greatest heights it ever was. But because of his love for things and pleasures, he missed out on so much. Think about King Saul, first king ever of Israel, God's chosen people. Well, he missed out on an opportunity there. He spent years chasing around David when he should have been reigning as king. Time and time again, the nation of Israel falls. You go through the book of Judges, it's all about here's an opportunity. You can live for God and you can do this for the Lord. Missed opportunity after missed opportunity after missed opportunity. Think about the man with the talent, the parable in the New Testament, how God, Jesus had talked about in the story that the master had given each of them a certain amount, and that one man went and he hid his talent and he didn't want to use his talent anymore. Missed opportunity. Jesus even says that. He's not a very good servant because he missed out the opportunity. Missed opportunity after opportunity, opportunity. And I believe the number one cause for this is that we do not believe God's word when it applies to our lives. At least not all of it. Because he tells us that he will bless us if we live for him. And a spiritual blessing. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't know about you, but there's been different times in my life where I just existed as a Christian. Wasn't seeking the Lord. I was kind of wandering around like those 40 years. And I know you might say, well, that doesn't make any sense. But we're just there. I've been in church all my life. I went to church. I taught classes. I did all those things that you were supposed to do. But different times that I just was just there. Wasn't meeting with the Lord on a daily basis. Wasn't reading his word like I should. Wasn't praying. I was missing opportunities, just like this group here missed an opportunity because they did not have the faith to believe what God has said. I think you're in Numbers 13. Let's go ahead and look at Numbers 13 here. Look what it says in verse 27. We'll start in verse 26. They went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back the word unto them, this is the 12 spies, unto all the congregation, and showed them of the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely, it's definite, what God said was true. It flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Amalek there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And so they're there, and they're giving a bad report, and it says, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But then the men went up with him and said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us. And they brought up an evil report of the land. So what was the difference between Caleb and Joshua and the other 10 spies? One had the faith to believe what God had already told him. The other one didn't. And I think many times the reason why we wander around and we do not seek after God and we do not search and we do not try the Lord in the sense of the things he has promised us is because we don't believe that they always apply to us. We don't have the faith to believe that our prayers are going to get answered, so why do we pray? We don't have the faith to believe that I can win someone out to Christ, that if I go forth bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again. We just don't think that applies. That applies to everybody else. It just doesn't apply to me. But remember what Rahab said 40 years later. We were afraid back then, and we're still afraid today. It was there and readily available to us. It's just whether or not we have the faith to do it. Are you living a Christian life today that says, I believe what God's word says? I'm going to take the step of faith and I'm going to be a witness because he's told me I should and believe it can make a difference. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek his word because the Bible says in Joshua 1:9, that's how I'm going to have success. Do I believe the word of God? Because this group, besides Joshua and Caleb, the rest said, we don't trust him. I don't have faith in him. So the reason why many of us today are missing out opportunities in our spiritual lives is because we don't have the faith to think it applies to us. We want everybody else to take that step of faith. We want everyone else to live that way. We want everyone else to become that super Christian so we can just ride along on the coattails. But God is searching to and fro for the man whose heart is right with him so he can bless them, or a woman's heart who's right with him. So the first thing I want you to think about is a lack of faith. The second thing I want you to think about is a lack of focus. Lack of focus. Look what it says, and let's continue on reading in this. It says in verse 32, it says, they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that were saw in it were men of great stature. Now look what it says in verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Second thing, I think the reason why we miss out so many opportunities is because we have a lack of focus. So many times we allow the things of this world to distract us and we focus on the wrong things. Here they have the story and they're focusing the 10 spies and the whole other people, 1 point however many million it may have been, is there. And they hear about the walls and they hear about the giants and they sit there and their focus is on the problems, where Caleb and Joshua says, we're well able to do it. They focused on two different things. I think sometimes why we miss the opportunities is because we are focusing not on the promises of God. We're not focusing on what God has told us he is willing and able to do. Instead, we're focusing on the issues and the problems that are at hand. We're saying those walls are too big in Jericho. And the people of Jericho are saying, we were scared half to death. We're glad you didn't come. They're saying the giants are too big. But Caleb goes and takes his mountain bag and takes out some of the giants. And you can imagine the exaggeration that's found here in verse 33. It says that which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. And so they're saying that these 10 spies are saying these guys are so big, it's as if we were as a grasshopper. Now, I don't know about you, but there's grasshoppers around this time of year. Yesterday, they were out there doing a scavenger hunt on Super Saturday, and there was these, someone said, I wish they would have said grasshoppers was one of the items, because they saw grasshoppers there. And but you know those grasshoppers, even the big ones that can be kind of annoying, are about that big. And you know, compared to me, that is 5'11 when I stand up straight, there, that compared that size, that means that the giants back then would have had been like 300 feet tall. That's a pretty big exaggeration, because we know Goliath was somewhere around 9 or 10 feet tall, and that's from that area. So maybe even if they were a little bit stockier and bigger, 11 or 12 feet tall. But look at the exaggeration. What is the focus that's here? It's because they're focusing on the wrong thing. One person saw themselves as grasshoppers. Caleb says, we're giant fighters. One looks at and says, I can't fight that person because he's 300 times bigger than I am. Caleb looks at that and says, not only are we able to do it, we're well able to do it. It's all about what you focus on. He stills the people. Are we focusing on a God that can do all things? The Bible says Jesus beheld them and said unto him, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. It is the idea of what we focus on. And so many times we make exaggerations of the problems, and we make something so big when God would prefer that we make it small, and we do things biblical ways, and we should make big deals out of certain things, but the things that we should make big deals out of, those are the things we want to minimize. We exaggerate and say the problem is too big. We exaggerate and say, I can't do this. There's no way anything can be accomplished. There's no way it's ever going to be fixed. There's no way that God could ever do something. Now, we would never say that, though. We believe God can, but we have a lack of faith in believing that God's going to do it through us. And we begin to focus on that person or that attitude or that issue and that problem. We don't think God's ever going to work. But God is able to save anyone, even the hard cases. God is able to work in a person's life and bless an issue. And once again, we could spend 40 years of our lives. I've been saved for 40 years. 40 years of our lives wandering around in the wilderness. Or we can have the faith and the focus to go do something for the Lord. He's already provided it. He's already prepared it. He's already given us blessings. It doesn't mean that everything's going to turn out perfect. It didn't in the New Testament. Didn't even sometimes in the Old Testament. But it's the faith, the belief, and trust that God is going to work all things together for good. Third thing I want you to think about. Reasons why we miss this opportunity. Sometimes it's a lack of focus. It's because we don't focus on God's words. We focus on the obstacles. They focus on trying to blame others. They focus on obstacles versus the omnipotence of God. They focused on self instead of the Spirit. The last one is a lack of fear. So we have a lack of faith, a lack of focus, a lack of fear. They say, Pastor, they were afraid. They were afraid of the giants. That was their problem. Yes, but they didn't fear the Lord. They didn't have that view of who God was. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. A fear of the Lord is that I value God. I see God high and lifted up. I know He's God, and I know whatever He's asked me to do, I do not want to disappoint Him. I do not want to fail Him. I do not want to do anything that's going to bring harm to His name. They were afraid of the wrong thing. And sometimes we look around and we're fearful of what somebody else might say or someone else might do. And we're saying we don't fear the Lord like we should. Instead, we're doing things the way we want them done because we're living in a fear of other people. Look what it says here in chapter 14 as the story goes on. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voices. They hear the 10 spies and cried, and the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto him, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. They're saying they're so afraid that they wish they would have already died, and that doesn't make any sense to me. They're blaming the leadership. It says in verse number 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, and that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us that we return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. So they're there, and they hear the stories. They don't have faith. They don't have focus. They're afraid of what's going to happen. Look what it says. They're afraid what's going to happen to their families. Look what it says at the end of verse number 3. And our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Their children, 40 years later, are the ones that are entering into the land. Could you imagine how much better it would have been for their children to spend 40 years in the promised land than walking around watching their parents die, watching their grandparents die? That wasn't pretty. Now, you think about it. God fed them with manna. God did supernatural things out there in the wilderness and continued. Their shoes never lost their, you know, they wore the same shoes, they wore the same clothes, all those things. It was amazing how God provided. But for 40 years, they wasted 40 years of their lives too. How much more of a blessing would it have been for them to be in the promised land, learning of God and worshiping God and all those things? How much more of a blessing would it be for us to show our children and our grandchildren what spiritual victory looks like instead of wandering around in the wilderness? Because I'm afraid that many times, because I do not fear the right things, or because we do not fear the right things, our families do not see us fearing the Lord and taking steps of faith and staying focused, because we don't have the right fear of God. It's the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's no fear of God before their eyes, it talks about in Romans chapter number 3. So I began thinking about what the missed opportunities, not of just in the Bible, what type of missed opportunities we have as Christians sometimes. And we'll finish with this. We have the written word of God here. How many have missed the opportunity of knowing it better? It tells us we're supposed to read it. It tells us we're supposed to meditate on it. It tells us we're supposed to memorize it. It tells us that this should be the living guidebook of our life. Many of us miss that opportunity because we're wandering around in the wilderness. We don't have faith to believe it applies to us. We don't have the focus, and we don't fear the Lord enough to say, I need to get in my Bible. I think about prayer. There are so many prayer promises that are attached to us going before the Lord, and we have the opportunity to pray, but how many of us don't even pray? Or we pray something that is, because our hearts are so filled and focused with self, we're more worried about the things that we're asking for than what God's will is, that our prayers only hit the ceiling. Think about it. We had the opportunity. Now, think about this. We had the opportunity to meet with God every single day. And he wants the fellowship. We had the opportunity to open up his word and pray to him every single day. And how many times do we do it? It's a missed opportunity. We like to make a big deal out of other things. We like to say, well, what about this issue? And what about this problem? You have the word of God there. And you have an avenue of prayer and the Spirit of God that can lead you. When's the last time you met with him? Most of us miss that opportunity. We spend our time wandering around in the wilderness, but we don't meet with God. And I began thinking about my influence. You know, have I missed opportunities to influence others? Think about the stories of like Eli that did not influence his children. David, who did not influence some of his children. We can tell. We think about Samuel, who did great things for God, but he missed the opportunity to influence his own children. We have people in our lives, and even though we want to influence everyone else, let's make sure we're influencing those that God has given us. Our families, we want to influence our children to see us living in a Canaan land spiritual victory type experience. I told you before some opportunities I've missed in soul winning. I told you before about Mr. Larry that used to work with me, and one night wanted to hear about the gospel, and I was busy. I was manager. I had things to do. Never went back to him and talked to him about it that night. I went later on, but God was working on his heart that night. And I mentioned to you before, Mr. Larry, the first time I went back, is I'm going to go back and see him. But then I found out that he died. His mom sent me a little church saying, you know, Pastor Pease, Larry looked up to you. He thought very highly of you. And they sent me this. He said, but he got sick and he died. I didn't take advantage of the opportunity I had there. I had witnessed to him. But that night, God was speaking to his heart. I want to encourage you that we have opportunities, but because of a lack of faith and a lack of focus, a lack of really caring what God thinks, a lack of fear of the Lord, we don't take advantage of those opportunities. We have streets that are filled with people who do not know Christ. And even though the Bible says they went to house, we don't have people that are interested even in talking to others. And I know sometimes people come, there's different avenues, there's different ways. But I want to encourage you, don't miss the opportunities of the soul winning. Think about our church. I mean, our church is blessed. We have some wonderful facilities, have some wonderful people here, some talented people. Now, how many times people say how wonderful our choir sounds, and this is wonderful, and this is wonderful. It's church is paid for. We have everything here that's necessary to have God just bless and do a mighty work here in Elizabeth City. And sometimes we miss the opportunities. It's because we don't have the faith. Take those steps. Our focus isn't there. Focus is maybe on the problem. The focus may be on an issue or a relationship. There is not the fear of God before our eyes as there should be. Think about the focus to be right. The opportunity to be right. We'll end with this. The Bible gives us an opportunity to those that are believers to be right with God. He says, if we've sinned and we've done something wrong, we confess it to God, He'll forgive us of sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't miss the opportunity to get right with the Lord. Don't miss the opportunity. If you've done something that you know you're not supposed to have done, He says, if you'll just come and you'll agree with God and never desire, don't want to do it again. It's not playing a game. It's not saying, okay, I ask God to forgive me here, then I can go do it tomorrow. That's foolishness. You're talking about the God of the universe. You're not talking about your parents or your teacher. Get your heart right, and you can. You can be completely right with God today. I don't care what the sin is. I don't care what the issue is. You can bring it before the Lord. Now, it's going to have some consequences most times. It's going to be a hard road to toe, but at the same time, you can be right to the Lord. And to those that say, Pastor, I'm not a Christian, you can be right with the Lord today too. The Bible says that all men have sinned. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A few verses earlier, it says there was no fear of God before their eyes. Talking about individuals that do not know Him, they just don't care. There's no fear. They don't understand. But we serve a holy God, and we serve a God that cannot have sin in His presence. And we serve a God that, because of that, He wanted man to be with Him for all of eternity. And He saw man's problem and the sin problem they had, and that Jesus came down to this world to die for the sins of mankind. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believeth in Him. Do you believe in Him today? Because if you're not a Christian this morning, if you said, there's never been a time in my life when I called out to the Lord and asked Him to save me. And I'm not talking about playing around with God. Just like we can't say to God, forgive me of this and plan on doing it tomorrow. I'm saying it's not about some words that an individual said. I'm saying that God convicted your heart that you were a sinner and you knew you were lost and you knew you were headed to a horrible place, and that because of your sin, you turn to God. You turn to what Jesus Christ put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on that cross, and you can be saved. Don't miss out on that opportunity. You can be right today. My friend, Mr. Larry, it was too late for him. Now, who knows? Maybe in the 4 months I was here, that in that time period he died, maybe someone came and presented the gospel. I would think his mom would have told me that, but she didn't. And I'll never know till eternity. But I don't want to miss out the opportunities. So remember, and like I said, as Rahab was there and looking at these two spies and saying, we're completely afraid of what you're going to do to us. We're fearful. There's no courage in any of our men. And he goes back and tells them, the two spies tell Joshua this, what about those 40 years that were wasted? God had already prepared for you. God's made the way for you. You just have to have the faith and the focus and the proper perspective of fearing the Lord. And then you can go over into Canaan land. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not talking about the land that flows with milk and honey physically. We're talking about the blessings of having the opportunity to raise your children after the admonition and nurture of the Lord, talking about being able to see people saved, talking about being able to see God bless the work that you have been giving him. That's what where desire needs to be. But many Christians today spend many years wandering around the wilderness, wondering, what am I doing? Why am I here? Why is not God not blessing? Why is God not using me? Why? It's because there's a lack of focus, there's a lack of faith, and there's a lack of fear. This morning, when Rahab was telling those spies, and I was reading it through, I says, they wasted those 40 years in the wilderness. God had already put a fear in their heart that was probably so great that there would not have been much work to do. It sounds too good to be true, but it's exactly what he had promised them already. We just have to have the faith to take it. So is there something in your life that you are saying, I'm not seeing God's blessing? Let's look and see why. Could it be a lack of faith, a lack of focus? So many times we're so focused on so many other things. We schedule God out of our schedules, or a lack of fear. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that you recorded Rahab's testimony there. What an encouragement that would have been for Joshua to hear and those two spies. But also, Lord, what a discouragement it would have been to think that 40 years earlier they could accomplish the same thing. It would probably have been even easier 40 years earlier. Lord, help us not to be satisfied with just wandering around as a Christian. Help us instead to be alert, spiritually alert, taking steps of faith, being focused on you, having the right view of the fear of the Lord. And Lord, that you would cause us to be blessed in our lives, spiritually. Thankful for this church. Thankful for these people that are here. Thank you for those that are visiting. God, I pray that you work in their hearts today, that you have a spiritual blessing planned for them, if they would just take the steps of faith. Lord, help us to be serious about our Christian walk. In Jesus' name, amen.